is magical thinking to believe that somehow you will be able to win attacks like this without making enemies out of Jeff Bezos. No, Jeff Bezos is our enemy. He is our enemy. And we have to fight big business. The question is, will we have elected representatives who will fight with us or not?
Well, then the question also is, if Jeff Bezos is an enemy, what am I? Bhagwan Shreeswat. What does that make me, a super enemy? So imagine you're in this position. You have a sacred piece of land. It's connected to your church. It's connected to your mosque. It's connected to your synagogue. And that sacred piece of land is being defiled in awful ways by people who are stealing from you, stealing your power. They're out there engaging in naked activities that should not be engaged in out there at all. They're living there. They're shooting up drugs. They're destroying your property. You go to the city for help, and they ignore you. Finally, you force the city to pay attention by filing a claim for damage, and you become now someone who goes to city council meetings and speaks up and is called names and basically threatened. Ari Hoffman is getting his induction into Seattle politics. He's here with an exclusive update. Welcome back, Ari.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, pleasure. I see you're here with your grown son, Jonah.
Yeah, he just graduated from grade school last night.
Congratulations, Jonah. Appreciate that. And so you went with a claim of damages to the city. We'll start there. Something fantastically strange happened all of a sudden out at your cemeteries after they'd ignored you for months and almost a year. What's happened?
It's actually coincidental that two things happened on the exact same day. Signs went up in the neighborhood 4 days after we filed the claim. And they're the usual signs that go up when the city's about to clear out an area of the homeless people. And this one mentioned the cemetery of Evergreen Washelli, which is exactly across from ours, and says that they're clearing the homeless out of the entire neighborhood 4 days after we filed the claim. All of a sudden, that goes up all over the area. Now, apparently, the residents of the RVs and such were not very happy because that same day they broke back into the cemetery and cut the locks off all the water supplies and other utilities they had hacked in the past for whatever reason, and then decided to spray paint part of the chapel that was over there and tag the building. So that both of those items happened on the exact same day.
So vandalism on the same day that the signs went up, mm-hmm. and it's your deduction that this is the people who had been living there.
Yes, that's our theory.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be a reasonable theory.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, the city gets up this gumption to come and clear these people out. Now, that's interesting, being that the city has been saying, well, we can't make homelessness a crime, etc. We can't criminalize being homeless. But you'd also submitted a claim for damages, if I recall, of about $250,000.
That's correct.
Right.
And today I got an interesting phone call from the city when I was following up on the claim because they said, give us 5 business days and then check back in. Well, they've had 5 business days. I didn't hear anything. I did get a letter that says we've accepted your claim. And then today I got a call and they told me that they were busy talking to the city attorney about it before they took any next steps. Now, in my experience, it's usually you do an investigation to find out if it's true, if it's happening, of what's going on before you talk to any lawyers. So why are you talking to lawyers? And that's what I asked. And the gentleman on the phone was kind enough to tell me, well, if we do this and if we accept your claim, then we have to accept everybody else's claim. And rightfully so, because this is completely city negligence. This is all that's going on here. And it was absurd that that's what he was telling me.
So
and that's where we are.
Listen up, everybody. The admission here is that if they accept Ari's claim for damages to the property, the cemetery in which Ari sits on the board, they have to accept everybody's claim for damages as done by the street people population in our city. Because as you know, on the program, we make a differentiation between street people and homeless people. And the differentiation is this. In this city, if you are homeless, you can find help. A little tough if you're a teen because you got to know where to go. But there's some very good organizations who concentrate on helping teens get into immediate bedding and then stable housing and then education, etc. They exist and they're very, very good at what they do. If you're a street person and you have no interest in getting up early or setting an alarm or going to work, you know you can live for free. Those are the street people Ari's been dealing with, right? So this apparently is going to go in front of the city attorney. It would be Pete Holmes. Pete Holmes, I believe the count, I mean, it's somewhere around 200 attorneys, combination of employees and contractors. Because it's funny, the city of Seattle does a whole bunch of contracting work with a whole bunch of different law firms. Want to know why? Because if you decide to sue the city of Seattle, you have to find an attorney who doesn't work with the city of Seattle. So they spread the money around so that they can make it very difficult for you to sue the city. So he told you this. Do you remember the gentleman's name?
I do not remember. Okay. It was a quick conversation.
Right. So but basically admitting, well, we're not doubting the seriousness of your claim or your evidence, but we just want to make sure that we don't have to pay everybody else.
Right.
If we pay you.
To which I responded, you know that a class action lawsuit could follow this and then you're going to have to do the same thing and it's going to spend everybody's time instead. And he said, yes, I acknowledge that. And what's crazy to me is if you listen to the city council meeting yesterday, Teresa Mosquedo was talking about how she wanted to have this big open table where everybody would come to and have all these discussions. I challenged the entire city council yesterday online. I doubt they would listen to it, to come to an actual meeting and to have a discussion about how to solve this problem. They're not interested in actually solving it. All they want is our tax dollars. And that was evidenced yesterday by all of their statements. They made so many outrageous claims yesterday, like that this was all Amazon's doing when it was all volunteers who spent the time getting the signatures on the referendum. They are living in their own delirious world, and they're not paying attention to what's actually going on around them and the ramifications of it.
Now, Bruce Harrell was supposed to show up for a meeting, right?
Yes, he was supposed to be at a meeting in the Lakewood Community Center last night.
So Bruce Harrell is the president of the Seattle City Council. Bruce Harrell, if anybody on that body is reasonable, and I don't think anybody is, Bruce Harrell does the best job of pretending to be reasonable and pretending to speak the language of reason. So he did not show up to the meeting, and I guess he'd said he was going to be there, but he didn't.
He didn't show. And this is kind of par for the course in my dealings with him. I'm not surprised by that. This is the same guy who told me he was going to be voting against the head tax. So I guess he finally made good on that yesterday.
Yeah, so he voted against it after he voted for it.
Right.
So I want you to give advice to people who have claims. I want you to, can you kind of go through the process and listen up? If you've had your home damaged by homeless people and you can prove it, if street people have damaged your property, they've damaged cars on your car lot, they've damaged your food truck, your friends' food trucks, there's been a raft of burglaries of food trucks, stealing generators, breaking into people's homes, stealing things from their garages. If you have a good chain of evidence on this, I want you to hear Ari kind of describe the process for filing a claim against the city. If you do that, I would like you to CC me or send me a copy of the paperwork of the claim, because I want to start amassing this and see what we're talking about. So how did you go about this?
This is the easiest thing in the world to do. Usually government is tons of red tape and fill out this form in triplicate. This is so easy. Google City of Seattle damage claim form. The form will pop up. You fill it out. You attach the documentation. You can mail it or you can go down there. I went down there to make sure they actually got it. It took 30 seconds to submit it. He stamped it. I took it. I left. That was it. That is how easy it is, and anybody can do it. If you have the documentation, and I encourage you to do this, because the thing that comes after this is most likely a lawsuit, and it's something that everybody is on the hook for with this. Now, this is something interesting. He also said to me, the guy at the city, he said to me, well, I would have a claim against the city also.
He did?
He said that. I was blown away that he said that to me. And I said, well, then you should be joining us in this.
This is insane. So you Google the phrase City of Seattle damage claim?
Yes, damage claim form.
City of Seattle damage claim form. Search that on Google or probably pop up on Bing if you don't use Google. And then fill that out. And do take it down. And if you mail it, make sure you use certified mail just so they know that you're tracking it. So you get, you know, the response on that. Then CC me or send me the copy of the paperwork. I'd like to know how much damage my listeners have undergone. In fact, let me ask you this. Hit me up on the text line, 800-465-8770. Brought to you by None Better Tax Resolution. If you've been damaged economically by street people and you can prove it, can you send me a note just briefly what the damage was and how much you think it has cost you? Text line again, 800-465-8770. If you've been damaged economically by street people and you can get a dollar amount on that and you can kind of describe what it was, text that to me. I want to start tracking this because I don't think the city is going to pay you, Ari. I think they're going to push back and try to weasel out of this, particularly now that it's in public. So I think you might be the tip of the spear in a class action lawsuit.
Thank you. We already submitted it to King County, and King County RA said, we don't want to touch this. We don't want to touch this at all. I submitted it to both because I was covering all my bases. And I said, I'll take this to Olympia if I have to. I'll take this to D.C. if I have to. But somebody's responsible for this, and it's not us.
Yeah.
And somebody's going to pay for it.
Good. Well, we'll keep track of the texts as they come in. Thank you for joining us. Ari, thank you for continuing to fight the battle. I appreciate it. It's very, very difficult to do, but you are not a guy who's going to stop. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
Yep. Todd Herman Show will continue on AM 770 KTTH in the Greater East Side, 94.5 FM. And something sad happened yesterday. Jeb Bush became a moron. So all of a sudden, went from being a guy who wasn't all that smart to being a moron. So the active shooter situation down in Burien, we'll keep an eye on that. I was just chatting with people in the newsroom. Both directions of 509 are closed. They're shooting. They're looking for someone who was shooting at cars down there along the tree line. And there's a lot of places you could hide down there. I'm very familiar with the area. Four cars hit, no one injured. And the police response is pretty swift on this. Washington State Patrol was there. Looks like even they brought out Seattle Police, King County Sheriff, and apparently the reason the roads are closed is they're doing a search of the area trying to find the lunatic out shooting at people driving in their cars. From a lunatic to a guy who just flat, just one day said, hey, you know, I'm not happy being irrelevant in politics, so I'm going to do something moronic. Jeb Bush is out with a program to make the first year of college free. Well, I mean, free for the people who get it, not free for you who have to pay for it. There's so much to say about this, and it starts with this. I didn't finish college. I went to 1 year, okay? My decision to drop out of college, it wasn't what was going to make it for me in life. I figured out right away, I can go do what I want to do without a college degree, and I'll just go be fine. That means I couldn't go be a lawyer. But that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. I got to go have a plenty good life, make plenty of money, have plenty of fun, not going through college. So why is it that I, who did not go to college, now need to pay for other people to go? Shouldn't this be to people who, or the tax apply only to people who went to college? Well, or let's say it this way, only people who completed college. Well, wait a minute. That's not fair. What if you paid for college on your own? What if you did what most of my friends did and worked your way through college? Maybe a little financial aid, $1,500 here or there, where your folks paid. If they paid their way through college, shouldn't this just apply to people who got government aid to go through college? And while we're on this topic of people paying for college, how is it that we allow Harvard to have a $49 billion endowment, $49 billion they have access to, still take government money, which drives up the rates, which is another reason that Jeb Bush has just become moronic on this front. If you run a business, okay, let's say that you own a, popsicle-making company. And all you do is you make popsicles. Let's say the government came to you and they said, we need popsicles for the troops. We will guarantee you the purchase of X number of popsicles for the next 30 years. So this many popsicles per day at this rate. Once that happens, are you now going to say, wow, this is great. Now we can lower our rates on our other popsicles. Because we've got this guaranteed flow of money. No, you're going to say, wait, we can raise our rates, and maybe we need to because we're so busy making popsicles for the government. We may need to raise our rates because it needs to be worth our while to make popsicles for other people. The same thing applies to colleges. When the guaranteed money is there, they don't make any effort. They have no reason to undertake any effort to lower the prices. Because they've got the guaranteed monies. Okay? This is another layer on this, though. Jeb Bush is pretending that once the first year of college is free, no one's going to come along and say, now the second year should be free, or rather should be free for the people who get it for free. Once the government begins paying for the first year, Jeb Bush is going to pretend that this is going to now stop at the first year? No. This is about Jeb Bush saying,
hello, I'm Jeb Bush. Bush, Bush, Bush. Hello? 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 Anybody out? Out, 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 out. I got Jeb Bush, 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 Bush.
Looking around and ain't nobody interested in a Jeb Bush.
I'd like to do an interview. View, view. I'm a former governor.
He's disappeared. He's calling out from a hole.
I'm down here.
Now, the other angle to this, of why this is so indefensibly stupid, in the year 2023, want to know what happens? In the year 2023, our interest spending, you know that great big credit card the government has with its $22 trillion debt and $122 trillion unfunded liabilities? In 2023, that's not that far from now. In 2023, we are spending more money on the interest on our debt than we are on defending the United States of America. By the year 2028, we're projected to spend, about $915 billion per year on interest on our debt and $769 billion on defense. And the numbers don't come back together again. The interest payment keeps going up. We can't pay for the first year of college for anybody without borrowing that money. Because the American people can't turn that over. You could seize all wealth in America, all private wealth. And I think the numbers are you could pay for everybody to go to college for about 4 years. Social Security recipients, since he's wanting to set up a new entitlement. And I understand, please don't send me angry emails and texts. I know that you paid into Social Security. I'm forced to pay into it as well. But the change over time to this is something you got to understand. It used to be in 1945, there were about 42 workers per recipient of Social Security. 42 people working for the aid to one person. It's down to 2.8. The trajectory is one day it's 1 to 1. One working person. 42 people used to cover it. Now it's 2.8 people. You see that it is unsustainable, cannot continue. And Jeb Bush, because he's stuck in this hole of anonymity, hello, 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 hello. I used to matter. He's doing what all the professional Republicans do. I've evolved. Free stuff. And guess what, Jeb? Even in this, you're failing. Because you know what you can't do? You can't out-free stuff Bernie. Speaking of Bernie, his dream country. You want the update on Venezuela? You want the update on breadlines?
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
We come back on the Todd Herman Show. I'll talk all about breadlines and more in Venezuela, which sadly is getting ready to crack. I'll give you the numbers on this, the hard data, as Jelly Durka would say. Welcome back to the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH. We will keep our eye on what's going on down in Burien. With, I guess it's Des Moines Memorial Drive that's shut down. About 160th, where it crosses over 509 or 509 crosses over it. Remember this famous quote from Bernie Sanders?
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
If this was a capitalist country, Venezuela, the news media focus on this would be obsessive. If this was a disaster they could pin upon Trump, such as Puerto Rico, or like they did with President Bush and Katrina, the media focus would be obsessive on this. What is going on in Venezuela is a human crisis that I don't think anybody can relate to. You want to see bread lines, Bernie Sanders, and how good they are? In Venezuela, a Gallup poll found that 17% of Venezuelans feel comfortable going outside. 17%. 83% of the populace are afraid if they have to go walk around outside in their country. This is in the land of socialism. Polio is back. Now, that's okay because they've got universal health care. So the polio is a sort that apparently is okay with universal health care. The universal health care that they have isn't working as well as you might think because they don't have any water in the hospitals. It's not just that they've run out of medicines. It's not just that they have run out of the ability to inoculate against polio. They don't have water in the hospitals to clean people. They have no running water. They're back to buckets in the stream, apparently, in hospitals. Have you seen the news crews there? Have you seen a focus on this? Have you seen Hollywood with a benefit for the country of Venezuela? Have you seen a We Are the World for Venezuela? Have you seen Sean Penn point out the brutality of this? No, because, of course, Penn went to meet with folks like this and likes systems like this. Has Oliver Stone spoken about this? Venezuela being a kissing cousin to Cuba, where, of course, Oliver Stone had a love affair with Fidel Castro. Venezuela is thought to have more proven oil reserves than any other country in the world. And yet the oil cannot be brought out of the ground. As John Hinderacker at the Indispensable Powerline blog points out, Venezuela's oil exports, do you want to know where they're trending? Mr. Breadline, Mr. Bernie Sanders, where they're trending? They're trending to zero. Well, that's a good thing. Oil, as you know, is it contributed to the global warming. And it's very hot in Venezuela. Very hot in Venezuela. Hot, hot, so hot that you have people now going to the zoo to kill the zoo animals and eat them. Well, that's not because it's hot. It's because they don't have food. Well, they don't have food because of the oil. The oil, no, it's not that, Bernie. It's that they don't have money. The socialist government in Venezuela, the breadline government in Venezuela.
Will you remind that one?
The breadline government in Venezuela.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
In breadline Venezuela, they ran out of money to hand out. They ran out of rich people to take money from. They're now printing money, and their inflation rate, the rate of inflation, 24,600%. That's like if you have if you buy something for a dollar today, tomorrow it would cost you $24,600 for something that costs a buck today. People, it makes no sense to spend money on food. It's the old Weimar Republic with people showing up with wheelbarrows full of cash to try to buy a piece of food. So they've turned to scavenging in their country. And yet, in the breadline country, in the country that is the model of socialism in this day and age. No, wait. I'm telling you, says Bernie Sanders. I am a proponent of democratic socialism. Not the Venezuelan form of socialism. Us is a democratic form of socialism. This can't happen under a democratic form of socialism. To which I answer, there's elections in Venezuela. We've watched the elections in Venezuela. So how does the party stay in power? Well, here's some recent news reports. Accounts of brutal torture further isolate Venezuela. Another one, held incommunicado for tweeting in Venezuela. Put in prison and held outside of society for tweeting about what's going on in your country, the breadline country. This story is a Bernie Sanders story. This story is an untold story. This story goes untold while a colleague of Bernie Sanders named Claire McCaskill, preaching the gap between the rich and the poor, preaching that wealth is a bad thing, preaching that rich countries have too much and rich people have too much, supposedly went on an RV tour. Did you hear about this? She supposedly, to show how down with the real people is, she went on an RV tour. Problem is, she didn't like the luxury RV, Claire McCaskill. So she supplemented the trips on the RV with a trip on a $3 million private plane her husband owns.
Will you remind that when they come after me about my husband's plane that normal people can afford it?
That normal what did you want us to do when people come after you about your private plane?
Will you remind that when they come after me about my husband's plane that normal people can afford it?
Normal people can afford $3 million for an airplane. Claire McCaskill, a colleague of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders of the breadlines.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing.
Three homes. Wife bankrupted a college, under investigation from the FBI for bank fraud, and the story of Venezuela, a Bernie Sanders story completely untold by the American media, because it is the Bernie Sanders story. Favorite part of the show, your emails, social media posts, longer forms of communication with the show. As you know, we pepper in your tweets and your texts throughout the show. Twitter at Todd E. Herman. Text is 800-465-8770. Don't wait on hold. You got a thought, get it to us. Don't make me ask the question. You want to critique a portion of the show, get at it, get to it. We read those on the air. When there's something longer to say, we turn to email or Facebook, etc. T. Herman at KTTH.com. Start things off with Lola. I've never gotten an email from a Lola before, and I wonder if this is a real name. No offense, I've just never met an actual Lola. Dear Todd, a breakthrough of sorts. The list article you created the other day of 28 atrocities that the voters of Seattle are apparently okay with has done something amazing. A dear friend of mine from elementary school is what you call a reflexive liberal, or I think you said an ethnic liberal. She's liberal because she's always been liberal, born into a family of liberals, and has never really thought about being liberal. She's just liberal. I sent her your article of the 28 things, and she went to work doing what she will often do, which is to go to Snopes and Google in an attempt to disprove everything you wrote. She wrote back to me and said, I never thought of these things this way. She'd never thought of the fact that tax dollars are supporting people shooting up heroin and cooking it and distributing it and housing it in RVs and tents and parks. It just never occurred to her that the environment here makes that possible for people. It also never occurred to her that her silence on these issues is actually a form of consent. It was a miraculous moment because her intent was to prove that you, Todd, were just making these things up. Now, the one thing I would suggest to you with that list is put some hyperlinks in it so that people don't need to go to do the Googling. No liberal who has a heart, a mind, a soul, or a brainstem that works at room temperature or higher
can disagree with your list. Everything on it is the truth. Thank you so much for writing it, Lola. Lola, I appreciate that. I appreciate the note. Look, those things are unavoidable. If you want that list, by the way, you want the article of that list, just text the word list, L-I-S-T, to 800-465-8770, and I will send you a link to the 28 atrocities Seattle voters are basically okay with. The purpose of the article, by the way, is to confront our liberal friends, saying, you're good with all this, right? It's to capture the momentum when we made the Seattle City Council turn back on the tax on jobs. Max from Mercer Island. Hey, Todd, I thought you'd get a kick out of seeing this new Lego set. The motto for the set should be, Seattle, come one, come all, welcome to the tent city. This set needs more additions like Seattle's future heroine or bus traffic jam in Seattle, or even a special edition set featuring I Wanna getting shouted down by ironworkers. And we actually call her now the Bhagwan Shree Sawant, Max. I remember playing with Legos when I was a kid, and often with a landscape or a city Lego sets, you run out of room prior to other things being built. We could use this toy to our advantage. If we can teach kids that putting tents all around in a Lego set won't allow them to build other things more enjoyable and pleasing to the eye, maybe one day we can apply that connection to reality as an adult. We could use a toy to reshape the minds of the younger generation for the betterment of Seattle's future. We could have fun with these Lego sets in every elementary school. Maybe crazy enough to actually work. Love the show. Keep up the fight. Max. Max, thanks for the note, and I appreciate you sending the link. Yeah, this is from GeekWire, friends of the radio station, or at least the building. It is an architecture-based set of Legos for Seattle. And he's exactly right. I don't see in this people shooting up. I don't see in this gang shootings, etc. No, it is a perfect opportunity to show people what a city could look like if there were actually people governing the city, not agitating within the city. Great note, Max. Thanks very much for taking the time. And a Hall of Fame member, Adam from Coopville, sent us a note with an intriguing subject line. This is a trick, by the way. You want to get your emails open, use intriguing subject line. Subject line, swimmingly. If conservatives were the one to get the Miss America pageant to discontinue the swimsuit competition, wouldn't we be hearing about the impending theocracy and threat to women's empowerment? I could imagine the protest now, everyone with their Handmaiden Tales costumes, screeching that women shouldn't be ashamed of their bodies. It's almost like if a church group tried to ban Halloween costumes rather than the PC mob. Why aren't male bodybuilding championships degrading? It's a great note, Adam. It's not degrading because it doesn't feed the greater narrative. You know that. Appreciate the note. See, that's why he's a Hall of Fame member. People continue to try to tell me that I'm qualified to preach, and I think they're misunderstanding what I'm saying. I'm a broken cat. I'm trying to follow the path better on my own, the path of Christianity. I don't feel qualified to preach or to judge. Right? I'll share with you my views, my experience as a Christian, my interpretations of things. John, great friend of the show, Corinthians 14:26. What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. 1 Peter 2-9, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. There are more, but you get the idea. You're qualified, not necessarily to preach, but to share what you have, what you've seen, and what you've comprehended. Continue to share. John from Shoreline. John, you do get me. Again, and that's exactly how I feel. I don't feel qualified to preach. I feel qualified to share. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes I went through a period of years where I did not feel worthy of prayer. I really did. You ever have that feeling? It was when I was working in D.C., one day I'll tell you the story. I didn't feel worthy of prayer because I didn't feel worthy of God. Yeah, D.C.'s tough on me. Really was. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show on AM 770 KTTH with more Seattle spirit, perhaps another list. It is the Todd Herman Show.